We are in week two of the series Flourish. Week two of the series Flourish. And maybe this is your first week. If it's your first week here at Vertical, whether you're in Hiawassee or Morganton or online, I just want to welcome you to Vertical Church. And so glad that you are here with us. So we're going to talk about, I've named this message as well. So if you guys have been here long enough to know, sometimes they don't get named. But Austin, I've got you a name for this one. It's called Salty. Okay, so if you want to write that down, we got this title out. Salty, okay? You guys ever been to like a steakhouse and they come out, instead of like Olive Garden where they come out with the Parmesan cheese and they never give you enough, you know what I'm talking about? But they got like salt crust on the steaks and things. You ever been there? Okay, yes, okay. Someone's already like, I know the Lord is in this place, okay? And so, but if you also been to Ingles, you walk by Ingles and they got like the spice racks and everything, and you look down and there's like salt for sale for like 50 cents, okay? And so have you ever started to wonder, why is there such a difference in salt? Like, isn't salt just salt? Like, why is there like high-end salt? Why is there low-end salt? What's the difference between all this stuff? And the interesting is the Bible talks about salt too. Maybe you guys know this, you know, where the Bible talks about salt and actually calls us salt. And so my question is the Bible started talking about salt was, what kind of salt am I? Am I like the high-end salt that they break me out at the steakhouse, or am I like on sale at Ingles perpetually for 50 cents kind of salt? You know what I'm talking? Like, I had to like evaluate where am I at and what kind of salt am I? And so I want us to look at Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. And starts in verse 49 that we're going to read today. And I'm going to read out of the NLT version. You may have ESV or NIV or all kinds of different versions. The version says here in verse 49, "For everyone will be tested with fire." Well, that sounds very exciting. You know, the series of Flourish. Last week, the first verses were like people's dying. The first verse this week is everyone's tested with fire. Some of y'all are real concerned about it. But it's okay. This is New Testament anyway, so God bless. And then verse 50 says, "Salt is good for seasoning." And some of y'all said amen, right? Yeah, some of y'all struggle with, like me, with cooking, and you've come to the second verse of this chapter. Salt covers a multitude of sins in the kitchen, okay? Amen. But if salt loses its flavor, how do you make it salty again? You must have the qualities of salt among yourselves and live in peace with each other. You must have the qualities of salt. It's interesting, and salt is good for seasoning, but salt is also tested and refined in a process. And the Bible actually talks about this idea, Old Testament, New Testament, the idea of being refined. And so as I spent time trying to figure out why is Ingles salt 50 cents, you know, Laura Lynn Brandon, and then why is some of the salt on Amazon you can find like big time expensive? You're like, what is the difference? And it's the quality of the salt. And a lot of times it has to do with the way that it was harvested or produced. And I didn't know this. There's still people who collect salt by hand. And some of you are like, I like my job a little more than I thought I did. You know, maybe my job's not so bad. Collecting salt by hand sounds bad. But really, if you go look it up, it's called Flor de Sel, and it's this old process that's hundreds of years old, and they still have it in like France and the Mediterranean. And what happens is the tide will come in from the ocean, and they've got these little pools that are set up. And so the tide comes in from the ocean, it fills the pools, and the tide goes back out, right? But the water's still left in the pool. And so the sun will hit those pools, the wind will come, and what happens is the salt that was in the water rises to the top and begins to crystallize on the top. And they come and basically, they basically just like rake it off the top layer, and they collect it. But see, the people who actually harvest this have to be very careful, because if they're not careful, what they happen is that disturbs the bottom of the pools where all the soot and, you know, impurities have fallen to the bottom. And if they're not careful, when they just scrape that top layer off, all that soot gets up into the salt, and it makes it impure, and the value goes down. It's not as high quality salt if the impurities get into it. And I found it very interesting, along with these verses, that we're to be refined by fire. We're supposed to be salt. And it also got me thinking that for the water that came into those pools, the salt was already there, right? But they couldn't harvest it until the salt got to the top. You see, the salt was there. And it made me think about this series that we're in of God has made us, but he's also called us. See, God has made all of us. He's all created us, and we're like the salt that's in that water. But when he calls us forth, he's like the person coming to scrape that salt off the top. And see, if he's doing that, he wants us to be pure, right? Some of us don't like the verse where it says we're going to be tested by fire, or the verses that are used in the Bible that says things like we're going to be refined, right? But see, the thing is, if God made us and he's given us a purpose and he's made us to be salt, is that not what verse 50 said? We're all salt. We're all to have the qualities of salt. If God made us and he made us to be salt, wouldn't he want all of us to be high-end salt, like expensive salt? Like, God has not made you to go be 50-cent salt at Ingles. He's not. He wants you to be high-end salt that they break you out at the steakhouse and they put you on the filet mignon. You get mashed up in the butter. They sprinkle you on the mashed potatoes. And maybe if someone's still feeling a little crazy, they even throw you on the vegetables if people still order those kind of things. You know what I'm saying? Like, we all have our purpose. Some of us have to be sent forth to help the vegetables, okay? And that's okay. But God wants us to be high-end salt. He's not created you to be low-quality salt. One of the differences in salt is good quality salt actually possesses vitamins and minerals. Low-quality salt actually doesn't have any kind of health benefit for you at all. But good quality salt has vitamins. It has minerals. It actually is beneficial to your health and for the flavoring. So my question is, if we're all salt, if God's made us all to be salt, what's the purity of our salt right now? When God's come to harvest us because he's made us to be salt, and then he comes to call us forth in everything, and he's trying to make sure the impurities don't rise from the bottom and get into our salt like sin. Sin can make our quality of the salt go down, or our shame. Shame can get in and make the purity of our salt go down. Our insecurities can mess with the purity of our salt. If you're salt, what's the quality of your salt right now? If God has made you to be salt, and not only that, he wants to purify you from sin. He wants to purify you from shame. He wants to purify you from insecurities, to make you the most pure salt that he created you to be. What's the quality of your salt right now? You see, I think that we don't like verses like 49 where it says that we're going to be tested with fire. But here's the thing is, I actually think it proves that God loves us. I think it proves that God loves us. And the reason being is if you and I were created to be salt, wouldn't it be very loving to try to make sure we're the most pure salt we can possibly be? I actually think it'd be very unloving of God to make one of us to be salt and go, I actually don't care. I don't care if they become impure. I don't care if they've got shame. I don't care if they've got insecurities. I don't care if they have sin. I don't care if they end up for 50 cents at Ingles kind of salt. I don't care. A loving God would always look at the salt and go, I will refine this to look to be the purest salt that I possibly can. That's what a loving God would do, the one who made us and then calls us. You see, I'm not just making that up. Ephesians 2 actually tells us about this. Ephesians 2, if you want to turn there, Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I love that verse. I love that verse. See, if you're someone that thinks that God doesn't place any value on you, that God doesn't care about you, Ephesians 2:10, that throws a wrench in your plans. That's a problem for the idea that you have no purpose in the kingdom of God, because Ephesians 2 says, one, God made you. God made you is the first thing it says in the verse. We are God's handiwork. God is proud to have made you. And then he says, we're created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which means not only did he make us, but he has a purpose for us to do good works through Christ Jesus. Not for our own desires, not to puff up our own name, not to make ourselves look good, but we were actually made with a purpose to serve Jesus, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Which means God's not just sitting up there, maybe trying to figure out what kind of salt you need to be, not trying to figure out, do you have any purpose? He says, the moment I made you, I knew you had purpose. I had a plan for you to use you as good salt. You see, I think sometimes we think about it, and salt doesn't have as great value in our culture or community, right? Because again, you can go down to Ingles for 50 cents, get yourself some salt. You're like, actually, Philip, I find these verses offensive. I find this offensive to be compared to salt. Like, I want to be compared to, like, gold. Or maybe I want to be compared to Bitcoin. Or if you're into all kinds of crazy things, y'all want to be compared to Dogecoin. I don't know what you want to be compared to, but most of us don't place a lot of value on salt, right? We don't think that's high value. But see, in this culture, salt was extremely valuable. I was talking about with a guy this week how salt actually back in the ancient Roman times was used as currency. You know that? That's how valuable salt was. They used it in Roman times as currency. So when the author writes these verses, he's trying to communicate, you're of the highest value. Salt was used as currency. And see, it got me thinking as well. So if God made us to be salt, and salt's supposed to be very valuable, and salt's good for seasoning, and it's good for flavoring, and it's good for preserving things, and that's what we're supposed to be. And we want to be high-end salt. Like, we want to be the salt at the steakhouse. Where do we actually have our most value? I started thinking, where do we have our most value? Because intrinsically, if salt's just sitting in the cupboard, right, you can buy the nicest quality salt, but if it just sits in your cupboard and doesn't end up on a steak or your meal, or it doesn't actually do anything, right? It just sits in your cupboard. And therefore, salt is actually at its highest value in the hand of the chef, right? And therefore, in the spiritual context, we as spiritual salt will always be at the highest value back in the hand of the one who made us. We will always be at our highest value back in the hand of the one who originally made us. And so we can look to try to be high-end salt at the steakhouse and throw me down on the filet mignon, but have we actually turned around as salt and submitted ourselves to the hand of God? As you walk in today, or you're in Hiawassee or online, I want to ask a genuine question as salt. Have you submitted back to the one who made you? We can go through life and try to be the best quality salt possible, but if we want to flourish, if we want to be everything God made us to be, if we want to be everything God's calling us to be, we have to, at the end of the day, submit our life to the hand of the one who made us. And Ephesians 2 tells us we're God's handiwork. We're created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And see, if that's the case, if we put ourselves back in the hand of the one who made us, he wants us to be good seasoning, right? That's what it says in Mark 9, that we're supposed to be good seasoning. That's what salt's for. And so I started thinking, if we are good salt and we put ourselves and submit ourselves back into the hand of the Creator and he goes to use us, we should end up being good seasoning, right? If we submit ourselves back to the Lord and truly say, you can spread me, use me, however you want, what should be the end of the result when he drops us down into a scenario? If he sends us forth to be good salt, to be a good seasoning, to be a good preservative, what does that look like in our life? When God drops you into your friend group, does the seasoning change? When God drops you into your friend group, do they go, oh, let's go. This is some good salt the Lord has brought to us today. When you get dropped into your work environment and you walk in the building, do people go, that's some good salt. We're going to have some flavor today. Or was you get dropped out of the steakhouse, do you get the waiter called over? Garçon, good sir. I don't know what you seasoned this steak with, but it is subpar. When God drops you into scenarios, are you good seasoning? Are they calling the waiter back over here because they're concerned about the taste? They're concerned about the flavor you have brought to the group. See, salt was high value. And it's interesting to me that it also is that if salt's used as a preservative, you're trying to make something last, right? And therefore, the salt's purpose actually changes. It's no longer just a seasoning. It's trying to preserve something that's going on. And so, therefore, salt is bigger than itself. It doesn't just exist to serve itself as salt. Salt is used to serve other things, other flavors, other foods, other things that go on. When God uses us, do we help preserve things? Do we help other people flourish? You see, we talk about it a lot here at Vertical Church. Life has got to be bigger than just us. It's got to be bigger than just us. We can't exist for just us. So when God drops us in, do we allow other people to flourish? Like, that's what we want to be as a church, right? Like, when we talk about the number 1023, we want to raise up 1,000 leaders from Vertical Church. That's not going to happen if we're not good salt. If we don't get dropped in and help people preserve, if we don't help get dropped in and help people flourish, we're never going to reach 1,000 leaders. It's not going to happen. But if we're good salt, we're going to help other people flourish. We're going to look at other people and believe, I believe God made you. Like, I believe God made you. And not only that, he gave you a purpose, and he wants to call it forth. He wants to purify you. It doesn't sound pleasant, and the reason it doesn't sound pleasant is Hebrews actually tells us it's not pleasant. The author of Hebrews is actually quite honest with us. He says, no discipline at the time seems pleasant. Anybody say amen to that? I mean, no one gets jazzed and excited when we start talking about refining by fire or being tested by fire or discipline sounds good, but we've got to understand that the God who made us goes, I see the salt I want you to be. I see the salt I've created you to be. I want you to be high-end salt. I want to break you out when the friends come over and put you over the filet mignon. That's the kind of salt I want you to be. And not only that, it's the salt I made you to be. But I've got to call it out of you. I've got to purify you. I've got to make sure that I don't let you end up being low-end salt because of sin or shame or insecurities or whatever it is that makes our salt be impure. God loves us enough to go, I want you to be high-end salt. He wants to be able to look at us and use us wherever he has called us to be to say, I will add good flavoring. I will add preservatives to this. I will make people flourish when I drop you into this scenario because you are good salt. And if we're all salt, it says in verse 50, salt is good for seasoning, but if it loses its flavor, how do you make it salty again? You must have the qualities of salt. If we're all salt, are we letting God use us right now? When God looks down to each and every last one of us that he's made to be salt, what is the quality of our salt right now? Is there anything where God looks down and says, no. There's something going on right now that's making you not be the salt I've called you to be. Have we let any impurities get in and dilute the purity of our salt? See, I think we need to talk about what does good salt look like, right? Like how do you define good salt? And some of you are still just like Googling, like, is this guy crazy? Are there really different kinds of salt? Like, I lost you early on. Please come back to us. It's okay. Okay, you can go to Amazon and order good salt. I know some of y'all are going to do that. I know some of y'all after this message, you're going to get on and start, you know, going through Amazon. You're like, I want to try good salt. I didn't know it was out there, but I'm going to give it a go. May the Lord bless you, okay? And so Romans 5, I think, will reveal to us what kind of characteristics we need to have in order to call ourselves good salt. Like, if we want the Lord to break us out at the steakhouse, what are the things we've got to have to end up there rather than on the frozen vegetables from Ingles? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to end up on lima beans. I don't want that life for me. If that's good for you, then may the Lord bless you. But I want to end up on filet mignon. I want to be whatever God has called me to be. And I want that for you. Because I believe he's made you. And he's made you with the purpose to do good works in Christ Jesus. Romans 5, starting in verse 3. This is the NLT version again. I like this version. I read from it from time to time. I also like the 1984 NIV. I like the ESV. And so may the Lord bless you. Okay? Verse 3. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. That this is becoming a theme, it seems like, in Scripture, that we're going to have problems and trials and refined by fire. I know it's not exciting. You can highlight or underline that if you want and come back to it later. Pray through that. And for we know that they will help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love. I think these verses actually reveal the four qualities of good salt. I think you could go to the fruits of the Spirit as well in Galatians 5 if you want to go there as well. That would be good salt as well. But I think let's go a little bit deeper here. Let's look at what good salt, high-end salt at the steakhouse really looks like. And I think the first thing that people, when they taste that the Lord's given, when he drops us in, what kind of seasoning they should taste endurance. They should taste endurance because what's one of the things salt needs to do is preserve, right? If you and I cannot endure and step into everything the Lord's called us to and to run our race with perseverance and we don't endure, how are we supposed to preserve? How are we supposed to preserve if we cannot endure? And that's the first thing this verse talks about is we know that trials and things will help us endure. And see, Hebrews 10:35 also puts it this way. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere. Somebody needs to underline or highlight that, I'm telling you. I don't know what you're going through, but you need to underline. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. We must endure to preserve. We must endure to preserve. See, God says things like, you'll actually be richly rewarded. Some of us like that language. We like the idea of being richly rewarded. But I've got to tell you the context of that. The context of being richly rewarded is when you've preserved, when you've endured, when you've gone, I believe God has made me, he's called me, and I will submit my whole life back to the hand of the one who made me, and I will endure. Then you will be richly rewarded. And I think if we're honest with ourselves sometimes, it's hard because the scripture also doesn't say that you will be richly rewarded on this side of eternity. That's hard for us if we're honest. That's hard to think, I'm going to have to endure, submit my whole life to this Lord who's made me to be salt for some reason, and I'm going to have to do the things he's called me to, and then I've just got to hope. I've just got to hope that I'm going to be richly rewarded at the end of all things on the other side of eternity. Yes. Yes, Hebrews 11 tells us things like, without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's what we have to be willing to do is, as good salt, despite what happens around you, despite how life's going, the Lord says, can you endure? Can you endure? And we must endure in order to preserve. I think that's the first trait of good salt, is we've got to endure. The second thing that looks to be good salt according to these verses is character. It says in verse 4, and endurance develops strength of character. Look at what 2 Corinthians 8:21 says, for we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of man. We are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of man. We talked about this in the last series, did we not? In decisive battles, one of the first things we talked about was if you want to win any decisive battle in your life, you have to have integrity. You have to be someone who goes, I want to do what's right in the eyes of the Lord. You've got to say, I'm going to guard my heart because everything flows from it, right? And strength of character is so important. Years and years ago, I think it was the early 90s, Tylenol had a massive problem. They had a massive problem. Some of you may remember, and some of you may just been born, you know, like me, okay? But Tylenol had a problem. But before the problem emerged, the CEO reached out to all the leaders of the company, and they decided, are we going to be a company who does the right thing the right ways? And everybody responded, absolutely. That's who we're going to be. And if you're honest with yourself, at a massively successful company, it's easy for everyone to sit around a table and go, we're going to do the right thing the right way when bukus of money's flowing through, right? It's easy to say that. The problem is it came out that Tylenol, the capsules they were using, were poisoning people. And people died. And so it came to the CEO's attention, are we going to do anything about it? Are we going to halt the production? Are we going to recall all of our products? And he said, absolutely. Because we've all decided we're going to be a company who does the right thing the right ways. His decision, they said, estimated cost Tylenol about $100 million. Cost them about $100 million to do the right thing the right way. Let me put it to you this way. Doing the right thing rarely comes without a cost, but not doing the right thing will always cost more in the end. Doing the right thing rarely comes without a cost, but not doing the right thing will always cost more in the end. When the Lord drops us in a situation as salt, people have to see character that's willing to take pains to do what is right before the Lord. And I love that they use the word pains, because if we've been around life long enough, we know to try to do the right thing hurts sometimes. To try to do the right thing causes pain. It's uncomfortable is probably the easiest way to put it, right? Doing the right thing is uncomfortable. When the Lord says, I'm looking for high quality salt, he says, one of the qualities I'm looking for is character. The third thing, if you're looking to be high quality salt, is hope. It says, the strength of our character is in our confident hope of salvation. We talked about hope last week, did we not? Elijah says things like, I've had enough. He wants to give up hope. And we talked about a verse, Proverbs 13, 12, that says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. See, when the Lord drops us into situations and he says, I need good salt here, one of the things they should be able to taste is hope. Hope. When people look at us, if we can't have hope, why should anyone else? Honestly, when the Lord drops us into preserved situations, if anything else that we can cling to, it's got to be hope. It's got to be hope. We got to believe that God is who he says he is and is going to do what he says he's going to do. But the issue also that always comes into play for us is it's not always on this side of eternity. And that's what makes it so tricky. That's where the faith comes in. That's where things get really messy if we're honest with ourselves. Because when we go, I don't feel like God's doing what I want him to do or expected him to do right now, then he must not be who he says he is. But if we're not careful, that will lead us down to the path where hope is deferred. And once hope is deferred, our heart will wither. The Lord says, if you want to have hope, you must keep it in the Lord. And if you do, you will flourish. When the Lord drops us into a situation where people are hurting, they're struggling, can they look to us as salt and find hope? Is hope hard for you right now? Is hope hard for you? Maybe all the circumstances you've been through, maybe 2020 was a hard year, and it's hard for you to think about having hope right now. Maybe 2021 has been difficult for you. Maybe the past couple seasons have been hard. And to say that you have hope, you just don't know if you've got it in you. And I understand that, but I would encourage you to ask, Holy Spirit, will you help me to have hope again? Not in myself, not in my strengths, not on the things of this world, but Holy Spirit, will you help me to have hope again? The fourth thing and the last thing, the worship team wants to come back up. To be good, high-end salt, you have to have love. We know how dearly God loves us, and he's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love. You know, I think about John 13, 35, and it says, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. If you love one another. When the Lord takes us as high-end salt and he sprinkles us down on situations, the Lord says in John 13, 35, by the way, this is Jesus talking, he says, people will know your high-end salt from me by your love. It's easy in this world to become jaded. It's easy in this world to be mistreated by people. It's easy in this world to go, I can't love people. Because that's what people do. Pastor David and Pastor Julie, who are big mentors in my life, they used to always say this, hurting people hurt people. Hurting people hurt people. But see, if we let that affect the purity of our salt, we lose the foundational element that John 13:35 calls us to be good salt. He says, they'll know you. They'll know you're good salt by your love. By your love. And I think about verses like Romans 5:8 that says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, it talks about in Romans, you know, very rarely will anyone die for a good person and things like that, but maybe we need to consider that Jesus set the example for us when it came to love, and love is sacrificial. Love is sacrificial. If we want to be salt where the Lord can take us out of that jar as he's making a creation and he's working on people's lives and he's trying to move and call people to him. He's trying to call people to be everything he's made them to be. And he looks over and says, I want to take some people from vertical church. I want to take salt out of the cupboard and I want to sprinkle it on what I'm trying to do here. He's looking for, do they taste love? Do they taste and see that in their brokenness, in their sin, and in their shame, and in their insecurities, can they still taste my love? If you're a Christian, think about it. Why did you finally give your life to Jesus? Why did you finally give your life to Jesus? His love. The fact that I can be as broken as I am, have committed as many sins as I have fallen short of the glory of God, and somehow in his mercy still looks down and says, I died for you. We follow Jesus because he first loved us. The Lord picks up salt from the cupboard of vertical and drops it into situations. If nothing else is nothing else, they should taste love. They should taste that we know Jesus and the price that he paid for us, and we will therefore look to be good seasoning in every situation in love. As we close out this service, I want us to give a little time. I want us to give a little bit of time before we get going in our week. You start going to the lunch you're going to and sprinkling on your salt, and you start wondering if it's high-end salt or they got the 50-cent thing from Ingles. You start wondering, but by Tuesday or Wednesday, this has moved on. By Friday, most of us probably are not even thinking anymore. Am I still good salt? But I think we need to just give a moment and let Jesus search our heart and say, Jesus, is my heart lacking endurance? Jesus, is my heart lacking godly character? Is my heart lacking hope? Is my heart lacking love? And Jesus, if it's lacking in any of those areas, won't you please speak to me? Because I know that you love me. I know that you have made me, and you're calling me forth to be high-end salt. You want me to be the most pure version of everything you've created us to be. And so, Lord, if there's anything in our heart, in our mind, if there's anything in our life, then search me. Change me. I don't want to be anything short of high-end salt. I want you to look into the cupboard and say, I can send these people because I know they'll be good seasoning. So, Lord, if nothing else, search me. If I fall short in any area, reveal it to me. Maybe you want to join in. You're willing to ask the Lord, search me. If I fall short in any of these areas, if there's anything going on that's making me impure salt to be used in the hand of the one who created me, Reveal it to me. Maybe right now you realize you've actually never given your life to Jesus. You've never submitted and said, I want to be given to the hand of the Lord. I want to put myself back in the hand of the one who made me. And today is your day. Today is your day where you can give your life to Jesus. You just have to confess, Lord, I'm sorry that I've fallen short, that I've sinned. I give my life to you, Jesus. Thank you for your forgiveness and your mercy and your grace. I give you my life. I want to put myself in your hand, and I want to be used as good salt. So as we sing this last invitation song, don't just sing the words. Can they truly be a cry from your heart that you want to give everything you are, everything I am, to be high-end salt? Guys, just stand right now, whether you're in Hiawassee or in the building. Just stand up right now. This is our moment to ask the Lord to search us and reveal to us anything that is making our salt be impure. Use this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.